To end the hour, someone who's ending a chapter in his life. Sean Carberry was NPR's Kabul correspondent for over 2 years. Unlike reporters who arrived at the outbreak of war post 9/11, when the Taliban was toppled and there was a sense of liberation, Sean arrived in 2012 amid turmoil and stayed until December. And he joins us to open his reporter's notebook on the country one last time. Sean Carberry, welcome back.
Thanks, Robin.
How does it feel? You've been back before, but this is for good, at least for now.
Yeah, it's different. It's a lot of readjustment, honestly. I mean, there's been a lot that's gone on in the roughly 2.5 years that I was out.
Do you find muscles unclenching being away from a war zone?
Slowly, yeah. I mean, honestly, the first few weeks were fairly difficult. I mean, just even walking on the sidewalk, and if someone was a few feet behind me, I would feel the need to kind of move over to the side, let them pass, or even take a detour down a side street to get away from that. Loud noises. Also, I mean, still to this day, I was just having lunch at a place and there were loud noises from up above, and it still gives you a little bit of a startle.
Right. Well, what about the Afghanistan you've left behind? You've told us about frustrating contrasts and contradictions in Afghanistan. You meet people in a budding music scene. You're welcomed into the homes of very poor Afghans. But on the other hand, a wealthy Afghan-American cheated you.
Yeah. As I was getting ready to leave and selling off some of my possessions, a guy came, bought a bunch of stuff, and then paid with counterfeit $100 bills. And this is an example of a lot of what's gone on there. I mean, the culture of corruption is unbelievable. And so you do have a lot of poor people struggling to get by who will do whatever they can to support their families. But you have rich, powerful people who are cheating the system, cheating their fellow Afghans, cheating the international community on a regular basis. And this is one of the prime challenges for this new government of President Ashraf Ghani, to try to make a dent in this and clean this up.
But what about those who are not fighting or cheating or, you know, part of a corrupt system? What about average Afghans that you met while you were there?
Well, a lot of them are struggling in between all of these various forces. And you have people, honest, hardworking people who are just trying to go about their lives, work, raise their families, and don't want to get caught up in the violence or any of this other activity. And it's gotten tougher for them. Civilian casualties have increased in the last couple of years. Fighting between Afghan forces and the Taliban, more and more Afghan civilians are getting caught in the crossfire of that. You have parts of the country where the Taliban have gained some ground in rural areas and are basically forcing local people to take sides. It's a tough position, and some people have succeeded. They've found ways to start businesses that work with the international community. They've made some money. They've brought themselves up. But the economy as a whole has been in decline for the last couple of years. Unemployment's increasing. So for those people who are trying to take a straight and honest path, it's still very, very difficult.
Well, Sean, there are some reporters, NPR's Renee Montaigne comes to mind, who, despite the problems, fell in love with Afghanistan. Is there a part of Afghanistan that you take from you in a quiet moment where you can hear the call at a mosque or see a light a certain way, something that you fell in love with about the country?
The two things that stand out, and they tend to be what reach a lot of people, is the landscape, which varies throughout the country, but you have rugged mountain areas, you have arid mountain areas, you have deserts. A lot of it reminds me of some of the American Southwest, some very striking visual landscape that is powerful and evocative, and you get drawn to some of the natural beauty. And certainly some of the people, I've met some amazing people there, some incredibly dedicated people that are taking huge risks for their country. And so a lot of the individuals I'll certainly miss. But I will also be honest, I'm not one of the people that fell in love with it to the degree that a lot of other people did. Mm-hmm. I found that I was more bothered by some of these negative aspects and disappointed.
But then there is Squeak.
Yes, there is.
Squeak is the kitten that you found and befriended in Afghanistan, and then you started a crowdsourcing campaign because it turns out it costs a lot of money to take an animal out of a country. And people rallied and they raised the money. And so Squeak is coming home.
Squeak should be on a plane and arriving in Washington. And it will be great to have her back. I mean, honestly, this is something that's actually a big story about the connection that people make with animals in some of these places. And, you know, a lot of soldiers that have adopted animals in Afghanistan and Iraq and went through a lot to get them home. Because these animals really help them get through these experiences. And there's no question that Squeak was an essential component of my time in Afghanistan and helped keep me sane and grounded.
Well, we'll link people to the website that is helping troops and people like you get your animals out of Afghanistan. Sean Carberry, NPR's Afghan correspondent from June 2012 till December 2014, now embarking on a new chapter. Sean, thanks for all your reporting. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
And NowZed is that organization rescuing stray and abandoned animals in Afghanistan. The link's at herenow.org.
And there's also pictures there of Squeak the cat playing the guitar.
He's so cute. Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Peter O'Dowd, in for Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.